We just started. It's not April 5th. It's actually April 19th. But this is a meeting we should have had on April 5th. So, the consent agenda, approve the agenda and approval of minutes from February 16th. If I can get a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
And I need a second.
Second.
Yes. I've got a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay, that's been approved. Public forum. This is the time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health today. Not seeing anybody rushing towards the microphone. Agency and departmental reports. Youth and Shelter Services. Denise Kenton. Good afternoon. Good. Close enough.
But I can update you on that, and that is that most of the information we had refers to a lot of school programming that we're doing, and I certainly would have a quarterly report for the state, and I can happily say that most of our goals and objectives are all moved out in the third quarter. So we've seen well over 1,000 Story County students just with Two Good for Drugs, which is third and fourth grade that we do, and with Project Alert, which is middle school. But, you know, on top of that, we also see a lot of the other preschool and middle school kids doing other kinds of programming as well. I go to Roland 5 times a year to work with those health students. They're a bit focused in the lab. They're something like 5 years old, so maybe something different for their health curriculum, and we're just finishing that up now as well. So that kind of programming is our bread and butter, and we do that on a regular basis. We also see a lot of the college students as well, and this spring in particular have worked with a lot of the fraternities, a lot. There are a lot of fraternities. We haven't seen all of them, but worked with them more on some of their formal planning, trying to make sure that those kinds of things, talking a lot more about safety and wellness to those organizations than we have in the past. And that's been really gratifying to be able to work with that age group, something that we have done, and that's we hold a good thing because currently, actually, all of the school year, Iowa State has had no office where they've had anybody who's addressing substance abuse. They essentially do not have an office for health and wellness now at Iowa State. They have an UNC, and in theory, he's going to be putting the structure together, back together very soon, and we're looking forward to that. So, the other thing that I have to do is last time we talked a little bit about we need a report on for the state of marijuana, and I thought I would update that a little bit. This is a fact sheet that we don't really get to see in the past, but there is a lot of mental legends concerning marijuana does and what medical and marijuana does. This is a fact sheet that we put together probably a couple of years ago that starts to, again, some of the mental legends about that. What we're seeing in the prison systems right now, but you think one of the figures on there is that in 2011, 3,571 people went into the prison system, and I believe that 86 of those went in because they had marijuana charge. So that's not the majority of those folks are coming from. It also speaks to another issue that people are mostly not familiar with, which is the ability of marijuana to stay in the system for so long, and so that is an issue concerning why water soluble drugs like alcohol can stay in the system for 2 hours, and then you're right back to normal being a relative term. But hallucinogens are sort of fast cells, and they're released very slowly. So, one of the issues that we're concerned about is with the potential legalization, even for medicinal purposes. It doesn't matter if you're using it for medicine or not, but you are still impaired for a good 24 hours. So that's also a concern. And then, of course, We continue to work on the vaping issue, and so I have brought with me Ashley Ingenheiser again to approach the board with.
So my name is Ashley Weiser, like Denise said, and I'm a student at Iowa State and a member of the ISU Health Promotion Club. So in 2014, members of the Story County Prevention Policy Board petitioned this board to create a countywide policy that would prohibit the use of electronic smoking devices or e-cigarettes in public spaces. And at that time, the Story County Board of Health declined that invitation, preferring to wait until the city of Ames had taken a stand. So the third and final reading of a citywide ordinance passed the City Council on Tuesday, February 9th, and has gone into effect. And on January 1st, Iowa State University also instituted a ban on all university property. And, of course, the Board of Supervisors has acted last summer to curtail the use of vaping devices on county property. So in light of those three ordinances, I'm requesting on behalf of the ISU Health Promotion Club and our partners, the Story County Prevention Policy, Mary's Youth Committee, and the Healthiest Ames Initiative, that the Story County Board of Health support an ordinance that would prohibit the use of electronic smoking devices in public spaces throughout Story County.
Well, as luck would have it, just a little further down the agenda this afternoon is that very item on behalf of the board. We'll take that discussion up here in just a couple of minutes and see where it goes. Sure, I've got a copy of the Ames ordinance, but yours, I'm assuming yours is a little different than that.
Okay. I have one question, Denise. Is this the marijuana that we're getting now? It seems to me that it's a lot stronger than what it used to be, isn't it?
What we are confiscating in Story County is about 50% THC, which is
wow.
So, that is 50 times more the perception distortion. So, you cannot accurately maneuver your environment that puts you in a very vulnerable position. That is obviously one of the concerns that we have.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Next, we're taking Public Health, Cal Breeze. He was just in here, wasn't he?
He is on call.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, we here of late have had mumps and influenza. We have, since the beginning of January, we have probably had about 3 dozen cases a month, which for us is a lot of mumps. However, Iowa City is set close to 1,000, and you and I standard as close to a couple hundred. So
wow,
we're doing well. We're way below that. Let's see. I would say all but two are college students, and the other two were older adults that had mumps. So as far as influenza numbers, the doctor's offices seem to be going down at this point a little bit. Emergency preparedness, we had an exercise this morning with our coalition members, and that coalition is comprised of emergency management hospitals, public health, and Boone and Floyd County. And so we had an exercise this morning, and it was a pandemic. New in the immunization world for us is a new meningitis vaccine. It's called Xero, and that is now part of our BSC program. And so we have started vaccinating ages of 10 to 25.
I thought the Minaxra or Bexero was for 16 to 25.
BSC 10. 10 to 25.
10? Mm-hmm. because we don't give it until they're 16.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I'll recheck our records, but I am very certain that it's 10 to 25 years old. That's what it is. That's what it is approved for. I'll check on that.
Yeah, double check on that. And I'll check when I get back to my office.
Sounds good. Let's see here. So, at Senior Health Clinic, we are actively at this point doing our survey. And so we will have those comprised and get that report to you after we get our data in. Still no active TB cases in the year of 2016, which is a bit unusual but good, good unusual. And we're treating roughly 18 people right now for latent TB infections with INN, and that's a pretty average number.
Nothing further from you?
Nothing at all. Well, I can dive into it. Should go ahead.
Number of issues.
We are right now starting to carry out our findings from the community health needs assessment and working on coalition building, really, developing some collaborative groups within our community on reaching out on a few of those identified priorities. And so that's been growing. Including meeting with county at the county building here on some focus outside of the city of Ames as we try to leverage some of our learnings there. Additionally, we part of that coalition building extends into, as Terry was alluding to, emergency management and some of the pieces we've been learning there as we go through pandemic exercise and, you know, make sure the health of the community is protected and where our weaknesses, opportunities are, and where we are achieving right now. So that's been a positive piece. Last week was the public health state annual conference, and so I was in attendance at that, and definitely some good learnings there in working with both State Department and Public Health on some opportunities that we can bring into Story County here as far as utilizing some data that they make available, and as well as some learnings. We're going to do some learnings with Polk County and doing some shadowing with them to understand better what we can bring to Story County here from what Polk's doing. So those are a couple of pieces we've been working on. Actually, also met last week, too, then with Federal Bank out of, I guess, the Office of the Comptroller out of Chicago came to the community and wanted to inform the community about how banks and financial institutions are required to reach out and serve the community through basically legal regulation, and how they would do that through partnering with local service agencies, including public health. And so we are currently working with our financial institutions in our community to try to develop a plan of how they can partner in addressing some of these identified needs that we've started to come out of our needs assessment and continuing. So.
Okay. See, I knew you had more information.
I do, always a little bit.
Just have to draw it out. Any questions for anybody? Okay. I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Next is Story County Environmental Health, Margaret James.
Oh, no. Good afternoon again. Thank you to Matt for covering the minutes while Stephanie is out of town. Starting with septic systems, we put in 17, or we've received 17 applications so far this year, and there's only been a couple put in so far, but the weather is now excellent, and so we'll be seeing a lot going in, a lot of action going on. Pumpers, we did the two Marshall County pumpers have been inspected. They do not land apply. And then for Drain Tech, we did the land application site, still need to do their trucks. And then I'm still setting up a time with Earl Sanitation for inspection. For wells, for fiscal year 2016, so far we've done 24 applications and permits, 8 of which were for water wells, the others geothermals, 125 water samples, 19 wells plugged, and 36 inspections, 5 well rehabs. We're definitely going to spend our grant money this year, so we're very happy about that, because if you don't spend it, you lose it, goes back into the kitty. So for grants to counties, then we have a balance of about $5,500, and we've got several lined up for plugging. A lot of these retrofit septic systems, the only way to fit a septic system is to plug a well so that you don't have to meet that setback. So we're picking up quite a few doing that. Trainings and meetings. There's a township officials meeting. Learned a lot about graveyard care at that meeting. Attended the C2C meeting, and then we've had several conceptual reviews. Kathy went to the Iowa Groundwater Association meeting, and Matt, the ISRI, and then he attends the MAPS meetings for the department. For the pool taxi tanning contract, we've done 10 pool facility inspections, 4 elements, and closed 5 parts of that. So an element would be a hot tub or a slide or the whole big pool. For tattoos, we've done 6 facilities, all, and then Kathy's just waiting on 1 permit on that. And then tanning, 2 facilities have been inspected. And then later this month, Kathy and Matt and I will be attending a day-long training session for those programs, DNR or IDPH puts on every year. So for enforcement, we have 2 overdue time of transfer binding agreements, so kind of a letter campaign going on with that right now. 9 outstanding notice of violations. I got to check off, finish on Jetter, but we've been after them or working with them for probably 8 years now, and they've got their system in, so it's just wonderful what to get that one off of my table. Complaints, Crosswinds Mound, Maxwell Apartment Building, Maxwell Junk and Burning, erosion control on a building site, north of Ames, several mold calls, junk in a ditch, stagnant water at ISU. Other projects that we're working on, the Irons, that is a subdivision that's being proposed up by the Ames Golf Course. Quite a bit of work has gone into that. St. Peter and Paul, they are adding an addition, redundant. They're putting on an addition and a brand new septic system, and that'll be engineered, so we'll just oversee that. Animal control sand filter, I guess Story County. Has that passed yet, Paul? Thinking of buying the animal control facility?
We haven't finalized the deal yet, but we're in the process
of it. Okay. So we've been trying to collect a sample from that thing without success so far, just to get an idea of the functionality of it before we buy it. We're also working on engineer shed over by Kelly. We've had a request for a program, a radon program overview from somebody that's doing their master's on radon programs. Request from other counties about how we went about doing our coyote program. Yeah, you remember we gave them 3 years and went through that whole hoopla. And so people are reaching out, and it's becoming more and more popular, and I'm glad that we're sort of on the leading edge, not the leader, but close, you know. This will be on the agenda later, but Hardin County, we took that on for 2 months, and they told us that it wouldn't be a lot of work, but in a small town of Owassa, they found one person was poisoned by arsenic. So then they did a study. They tested all of the wells in that small community, 700 people, and found that 12 out of the 13 wells tested above the MCLs that EPA says. So that hit the paper, and then, of course, a lot of people are interested in having the well tested. So that's so it's a lot more involvement up there because of that. And unlike Story County, a lot of people are still in their water wells. They aren't on rural water. So a lot more work, a lot more time than I thought. It's not hard work, but it's just time-consuming, busy work. And then for the Nevada DQ Luft site, they did do the 3 high vacuum events, and now they're waiting for it to stabilize. And in about 6 months, they'll go back in, suck it out, do some testing, and see if they're done with that site.
And they think at that point, in 6 months,
they'll call it. They'll close it. If
they'll close it.
They'll close the study site if it's okay. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, and then we did get a master matrix review application in. And the board accepted it today.
Acknowledged
receipt. And then there will be a public hearing on May 10th at the Board of Supervisors for that. And that's all I have for today. Any questions?
You learned about cemeteries?
Paul can tell you all about that. Yeah. That's one of the townships. That is one of their duties, is fence keeping. You know, fencing disputes, cemeteries, what else?
Fire protection.
Fire protection. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Margaret.
Yeah.
Additional items. Discussion of cooperative agreement between Hardin County Board of Health and the Story County Board of Health for providing of sanitation-related services. And similar to what we did in Boone County here, I don't know, a couple of years ago, they've lost their sanitarian. And they reached out to us to see if we could give them some help. And because of the weather constraints, Martin was getting a lot of calls, people waiting. The weather was good. We hadn't signed the agreement. We missed our meeting last week. So I signed the agreement. And what we need to do today is somebody needs to make a motion to affirm the action of the chair on that agreement. It's almost exactly the same as what we did with Boone County. The rate is how much we charge them per hour, $43 an hour plus round trip mileage from Nevada and back. And they're in the process of kind of reworking that. I think they're going to put the sanitarian duties under the county engineer up there. But I think they have to get the okay from the board out of the Department of Public Health first, don't they? I think they were waiting on something. Right. Both counties. Okay, but our agreement's only for 2 months. Yeah.
Okay, I'd like a motion that we voting.
Affirm the action of the chair. And is there a second for that?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. And next, discussion and consideration of enforcement actions on Crestview Mobile Home Park. And Margaret will lead that discussion. I'd also like to point out that Mr. Brant Lemer is in the audience today. The owner of Crestview, Brant, came in with it last week. He and I had a good conversation last week, so I invited him to come today in light of the conversation we're going to have here today. So, Margaret, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Paul. The Crestview, I wrote some notes down here.
Is that light on?
It is on, but it doesn't seem to be working real well today. Is there a second one?
I was just trying to get back at you.
Got it. what I want to do is sort of state some facts that I know about the water system for Crestview Mobile Home Park. In efforts to build a case for you to consider an order from the Board of Health. Okay. So Crestview Mobile Home Park serves potable water to more than 15 units and therefore is classified by DNR as a public system. DNR has authority over the water well and supply system and routinely inspects the system and tests the water over there. Crestview is within the service area of the Story County Board of Health and is therefore subject to our nuisance regulations and specifically the service of potable water. So on 12/23/15, DNR Field Office 5 Specialist Janet Gastineau tested the residual chlorine and found it to be below the acceptable range. And then also the total chlorine was below the acceptable range. Also on that day, Brant Lemire admitted to hauling in water and pumping it into a system, the system holding tank. There's a permanent plumbing system or plumbing installed to facilitate water transfer from the truck to the tank, the water tank. Also on that day, a resident complained about intermittent water service, and it is well known that breaks in the sufficient pressure in your water lines leaves it open for siphoning in contaminants. Okay. Also on that day, 12/23/15, there was no licensed water operator employed by Crestview to manage the water system. On 12/23/15, it was observed that the well did not have the required protective features, compromising the water facility. This has since been corrected by a licensed water contractor. On 1/15/16, a resident complained about the lack of water in the evenings. She also mentioned that the lagoon overflowed during the December floods. I personally have seen several events where there was raw sewage on the ground. Again, coupled with a low water system pressure, you can back siphon raw sewage into that system, a very dangerous situation.
And this is December 2015, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And then on March 14, 2016, there was a viability assessment conducted by DNR with several deficiencies noted and deadlines for compliance established. The first one that's coming up is a licensed water operator was to be on board by April 15, 2016, and this has not yet been met. I believe that this statement sort of verifies that an unsafe water source is being provided to the residents of Crestview Mobile Home Park, and I ask that the Board of Health consider issuing an ordinance requiring that a water operator be hired and maintained. And the main reason behind this is that they can manage it and ensure safe water. I know that there's been some problems with Mr. Lemire getting an operator to sign on because the system has some major issues. So the order is in front of you there. I don't know, Paul, if you want to read that or...
It's basically an order from the Board of Health. Crestview Mobile Home Park with Brant Lemire, the owner, who gives the address, spells out the nuisance. Local ordinance requires any water supply for human consumption, which is pathologically or chemically unsafe, according to the latest Federal Environmental Protection Agency standards, is a nuisance. Mr. Lemire has failed to provide a continuous, safe, potable water supply to the residents of Crestview. And the order simply states that he is to provide water that is safe and free of pathogens as per the EPA recommendations, effective immediately. To ensure the provision of a continuous, safe water supply, it is also ordered that Brant Lemire shall continuously maintain the service of an Iowa licensed water operator starting no later than April 26, 2016. Chlorine residuals, bacterial levels, and system pressures shall be reported to the Environmental Health Department weekly. Fair to hire an Iowa licensed water operator shall provide proof of compliance by April 26, 2016 may result in closing of the Crestview Mobile Home Park, and residents of the park may be required to vacate the premises in accordance to Iowa Code, Story County Code of Ordinance 55.09. So that's what's in front of the board today.
Can I ask a question about the wording of this? So what this says is that in a week that they have to hire a a qualified water contractor.
Yes.
But we don't expect everything to be cleaned up in a week. We just have.
You're correct. Well, I think the hiring of the operator.
Legal compliance. That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. So we're just, our order says that this is what they have to do.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. And then DNR has given the operation permit. So their deadlines were April 15th to hire a water operator. And then May is to submit an engineer's evaluation showing an upgrade to the existing system or connection to an approved system in Virginia. Okay. So what they're saying there basically is that they did this viability study and the well does not produce enough water to service that whole community. So they have to come up with a way to fix that problem and fix the line so that they're not suffering from breaks all the time or hook up to a different water supply in Virginia.
See, my concern with this is that even if he does hire an operator, licensed operator to maintain this,
mm-hmm.
the system is in such poor service that he's not even going to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you don't have a good system and good pressure and all that, it makes it pretty hard for the operator to get that up to standards.
Yes, and it will take some time, and it will take a lot of oversight, especially keeping the chlorine levels right. But I think that with that May 16th deadline staring at them, you know, it gives them a month. So it really, it's just one step toward that goal of fixing that whole problem.
Does he become a liable person then, this operator of this system then?
His license would be jeopardized
if he doesn't
get it right, yeah.
So then if he can't, then what's he supposed to do then? Is he to tell the DNR then that he
yes.
can't?
Yes.
There's just no way to keep the system up then?
Yes.
Will the water operator be, will they be able to get clean water to the residents of Crestview? Like before, because again, what I'm reading this is if they can't do it,
mm-hmm.
if they can't make the system appropriate, then they have to start working on. Working to hook them up to Ames Water Supply or Xenia,
mm-hmm.
which will take a while.
Yes.
So they hire the water operator, and I'm kind of playing devil's advocate. So we hire the water operator, and okay, so that's good. They do what we say.
Mm-hmm.
And then the water operator looks around, finds out that they can upgrade their system, and it takes 6 months to get them hooked up to the Ames water system,
mm-hmm.
which probably is a
realistic
estimate.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens to the water of the
mm-hmm.
people who are in Crestview until then?
I guess what I see is the operator overseeing the purchase and supply of potable water being delivered to the system. And then it would be safe that way if he oversees it, you know, not the truck hauling it in the middle of the night kind of thing.
And then that would allow the Crestview to remain open.
Yes, yes, until they get hooked up to city,
right.
Or drill a new well, but then they'd also have to put in a new supply system.
And is it feasible to get a water operator within a week?
Well,
could it be done? I mean, I'm trying to get my barn painted.
Right. The DNR actually gave him a deadline of last Friday.
Right. Yeah.
And he's been without a water operator for quite some time.
Well, since right before Christmas, I believe, the gentleman
right.
left that position. Yeah. So Brandt is known. I mean, it's a requirement. It's not just something,
right.
you know, that we're putting on a new. It's a requirement all along. So he has been working on getting one since the 23rd of December 15. Yeah.
Right. And the 15 hookups is what If you've got more than 15 hookups, then it's considered a public.
Right. Yeah.
If it's 15 and below, then it's not a public water source. And it's
but you're still, you know, under the Board of Health nuisance regulations.
Correct.
Yeah, this is pretty serious, I think.
It is, and it has been for some time. There's been issues with water at that park. We've had discussions, this board has had, over the past several years about different issues at the park. The latest one is the water, and they've been under a boil order since before the first of the year. So, I'm going to ask Brand if he has anything he'd like to say on his behalf or the behalf of his court if he comes up here. Sure.
There was a lot of information there, I guess. a lot of truths, and there's some contradictions and such on dates and whatnot, and I'll try to cover some as best I can here. Anyway, I'm Brant Lemire, on the west side of Ames here, concerning the property, especially Mobile Home Park. yes, the boil order was issued on the 23rd, and reason of was because of a water main break underground. Now, there's been a lot of confusion on this and the facts that were stated here, and those were facts, yes, but those were just because of this water main break. It's not a routine action over all these years. The well system at Crestview Mobile Home Park is capable of sufficing daily routine basis, okay? Averages, it uses 3,400 gallons a day on an average. Lately, we're a little low now, but it is capable of doing 6,000 gallons a day if needed. When such main break was there on December, yes, we were getting nervous, if you will, but no water was hauled. Okay, my admission to the water hauled was not as of the 23rd; it was after such. It was, and I don't know if we initially needed to, but it was more precautionary, so the well, so the system wouldn't get under pressure, under pressurized. So there's been some complaints, yes, and the facts that we stated here, that Margaret just stated, most of those weren't factual. There were factual complaints, yes, but complaints from other tenants, past tenants. Of course, this is really low-income personnel. there's numerous complaints, and it comes in the same complaints because the tenants visit with one another. And that's normally what the facts have been coming in the last number of years has been on a complaint issue. The water, if we can consensus and ask every tenant, there was no low pressure as that complaint time. It was just the one complainant. And recently, this last few months, December time, the complaints that come in at low pressure was just individualized, if you will. Yes, there was low pressures on certain homes due to freeze-ups, whatever, but the system as a whole, no, it was not pressure under-pressurized except until that water main break on December, late December time. It was hard to surface. It didn't surface right away, so it was hard to find. We found it. Right about Christmas time there and fixed it shortly after. By the 27th, it was up and running back to normal. I got some dates here too, but I don't know if I want to need to waste a bunch of your time on all that. But it was up and running at 27th. We had the egg source laboratories. We had tests and also the hygienic laboratory of State of Iowa. Tested numerous testing on there, and they were all there's no contaminants, and all within limits on such other testing. So that was fine, but we haven't lifted that boil order yet. Coming down to what Margaret was saying on the certified operator, the Crestview had a certified operator up until the 23rd, the same day, the same visit Margaret mentioned with Ms. Gastineau. And I believe a Bill Gibbons, also from the Iowa DNR, was on site. My certified operator at that time was there as well. Conversations they had, I was not a part of. He resigned that day. So I did have, over all these years, a certified operator. watching over the system. So he resigned. And, of course, now we had 30 days. At that time, I had 30 days to get a new one. Okay. 1/6 of 2016, I had a gentleman online to do such. Mr. Eric Lawrence already is a certified operator in other operations through with the DNR. He agreed with me, met, and I said, before we do anything, we have to deal with the staff members at Iowa DNR. He declined after such meetings, meaning the reason he declined and the other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 after was also the day-to-day operations, meaning they wanted him there every day. We're working through this on 3 days. We lowered this down. All these gentlemen, I had one going to be lined up at the last year up until just last week. He on 4/8, I guess, April 8th, he declined. He was on board up until then. The reason of he was going to be there on a day-to-day basis. conversations went, and he declined as well now. So I, as liability party, if you will, of Cressy Mobile Home Park, have been, I haven't procrastinating, I've been on this, trying to have an operator back in online. But each of these persons and other colleagues of mine in this industry are surprised at these stipulations that on a small system. It's, I don't want to say too much, but it's almost unheard of having a day-to-day operator on a, unless, you know, if the operator does, knows the proceedings of such. On February 15th of 2016, Mr. Dale Berry from the water, he's a training specialist from Iowa Rural Water Association, a federal program dealing with training and small sites of such. He did a visit to Cressy Mobile Home Park. And in his findings, it was a good visit. He was comfortable with the treatment system at Cressy Mobile Park and stated Mr. Lemire had a good working understanding of proceedings and recommended the same chlorination be continued until such certified operator is found. He didn't see any need for extra daily on-site management for an affidavit. He suggested that to the Iowa State DNR. Okay. But that's where we sit. And after that communication, I had another gentleman online that just declined here just recently. So each step of the way, I assumed we were going to meet these such deadlines. So that's where. And again, to recap here, it's very important we understand this is not a water quality issue. It is more of a compliance issue on water quality. Cressy Mobile Park has never had a bad sample. It is tested monthly by an outside source, not by myself. Eight Source Laboratories comes and tests it themselves. So that's, and there's a numerous testing too on visits with Iowa State DNR, Ms. Gasnow, Janet Gasnow that Margaret mentioned here a minute ago. She did her own sampling and brought in to the hygienic lab, the hygienic lab. So, Cressy's intention today, because I'm exhausted with this issue as well. As the owner, I'm exhausted with this issue as well. I take this, all this factual information we've had here recently, and look at it as a challenge overcome. Part of the business, that's fine. I don't throw my hands up and run away. I'll adapt to it and overcome. Reason is, with the Ames area, there isn't much housing availability for the low-income people. All these apartments going up and it would have been a lot easier for me years ago to throw my hands up and get a different industry. I do have a heart for some of those people here. They've been there a long time. I've been there many years. So my intention and Cressy's intention is to continue trying to meet compliance of these issues. And until then, and try to continue the business as is. But I'm exhausted, like I mentioned, so I would like to go down to the 15 requirements that Mr. Paul mentioned a minute ago. In until we can get in compliance with back up to the many selections again. Cressy right now has 31 occupied lots. That's 50% of what could have. And the reason is in the due to the last, since December, I have tenants have been leaving through non-payment reasons, and I haven't opened up the advertisement for new homes until we get to compliance. And some of this as well in the past years is of poor management on my part, too. Poor management, I hire a manager. It's been a revolving door, trying to get good management in there. And plus, since 2014, there's another mobile home park that closed. I did a transition trying to get newer models in. It's just been a struggle in the process ever since. I bought this park in 2003, and right now, to date, I will agree, it is about the worst shape it's been in, okay? And that's up until December, that's been my intention to clean it up. But right now, its top concern is the water quality. And again, this is not a water quality issue. Water quality is fine. We've never, on a routine daily basis, the pressure is always full capacity. DB can stop there anytime, take a sample. It's going to be the same. It's the sample. Some of the compliance on the sampling that we say, it's not the sample that we have, it's the chlorine residuals. The chlorine residuals is what the free and total chlorine is around the mobile home park. The free will adjust, but as long as we have enough certain amount of total, that's when that Mr. Dale Berry was visiting. He saw no problem in this. The system is not in a loop. Most modern day systems, of course, are on a loop. I have a lot of dead ends. Question Mobile Home Park is an old park designed and built in the late 50s. At that time, there wasn't a loop scenario. There are seven dead ends at Crest Mobile Park. So we take these samples of the residue, not the water. The water sample has always been good in these dead ends. I routinely have to go in different sections. Some of those will be at those dead ends. And those samples, the samples that are taken to the lab, have always come back negative of any contaminants. So the residuals testing will be varied, sometimes high, sometimes low. That's where some of the issues with Iowa State DNR and their visits were in a compliance rating. But the sample themselves has always been fine. I want to make that clear that the water quality, this is not a water quality issue, it's a water quality compliance issue. And myself, as Professor Mobile Park, have been trying to meet these since December 31st. And again, I'm back to, I got one other couple out of Fort Dodge I'm contacting now that I have contacted and we're working with to see if they're going to pursue. Until then, I want to ask the board here for a timeline. If we can come to a time agreement on to lower down to the 15 connections, of course, I'm thinking worst case scenario. I visited much in discussions with the Iowa DNR, see of Office 5. And they're okay with that if we go below the 15 connections, or at the 15 or below. Instead of me giving you a timeline, I would ask you what the timeline would be. I have not told them of such tenants yet.
Right.
But then legally, I think, in a landlord-tenant, the leases I have a month-to-month lease with each tenant there. There are all these homes owner-occupied. Crestview does not own any homes. It's not a rental. We only rent the lots to owner-occupied homes. So I think under tenant-landlord law, I believe it's a 60-day notice on a month-to-month lease. As soon as I can breach such contract is 60 days. So I ask you what sufficient timeline you would agree to having on lowering down, because of a significant amount, another 50% would lose their homes here.
Okay.
And get down to that 15 connection.
Well, Brad, I appreciate you coming in today and to speak for on behalf of your mobile home park. The fact of the matter is you've been without a licensed operator since before the first of the year. So we're looking at, come on, 5 months at this point. You've been given a couple of deadlines by the DNR. And for whatever reason, the DNR, I think, is probably look to the Board of Health to come in and do the enforcement action on this. So I think the first thing we need to do as a board is to vote whether or not we want to approve this order, leaving the date as April 26th for Mr. Lanier to hire a certified operator.
If that requirement is met by the 26th, then I think through Margaret's department we can monitor the progress. If you make it in the DNR, we can monitor the process on the water supply. But I think the first thing that this board needs to do is take action on this order that's in front of us. And then any timelines after that would be a topic for discussion for this board after the 26th of April. So, if there's any discussion or any more discussion, or if somebody wants to make a motion to approve the order.
Can I ask another question? Mr. Lemieux was saying was that it sounds like he's been trying to hire a contractor.
Correct.
And what is the reason you can't hire a contractor again?
Well, let me just say one thing. You know, I think Brandt has really tried hard to get one. But when a system is in bad shape, you can't get an operator that wants to jeopardize their license by putting their name on it, okay? Is that fair? I'm sorry, but that's how I feel, is that, you know, they're afraid to take it on. And so I think that in itself speaks for the system, that it's not a viable system and they don't want to have their name on it. Brandt has turned over many, many rocks looking for one. And, DNR, they'll call the DNR and talk to them and learn that it isn't a viable system as per the study. And, you know, based on the well capacity and the plumbing lines. I've had several complaints about the water quality, not just some testing, but they'll get an evening with no water, and then when it finally comes back on is a slug of dark, you know, very dirty water. And then who wants to use water that looks dark? A lot of folks will take showers at their relatives over the weekend because they can't get enough water for one shower. They have trouble flushing the toilets. I hear a lot of stories. And then one time, one individual thought that the water was burning his skin. He was thinking maybe the chlorine levels were possibly too high. An operator would maybe make sure that those levels are correct. But an operator, I think, sees that there's some big problems here. And they're not willing to take that chance.
A lot of that you got to take consensus in as a whole. And some of these complaints coming in, we got to look at the complainant and their situation. That's been a lot of it. I'm not saying every time, I'm just saying a lot of it. And
for our purposes today,
I understand. I want to make one, but he hit his question there.
Sure.
the water. I'm sorry. What was your question again?
My question was: is you put this ordinance in, or this order in place? Can it be done?
Yes. So
you can get a licensed water operator?
I've already had five on the list that I was confident was going to work, so I can't commit to a yes answer on that now. And the reason is, all five, they met the system, they saw the system in person, all except one, I'm sorry. There was a conversation with Ms. Gastineau prior to him visit, and he chose not to. But all the other four did visit, and they saw the system. And before they came, it was very similar to what Margaret was assuming, that it's going to be high. I don't know if I can do it. It sounds like it's over the time schedule that I can give it to get it back into compliance. But when they came on site and saw my treatment building, the treatment system, and, yeah, this seems to suffice. I've had, some comments came in. I've seen worse systems, serving more people, and this one, what you've seen, it looks fine. But they talked to Ms. Gastineau at the Iowa DNR, and when she says she's firm on the daily, that's where it always decline on the daily. So that's when I've been trying to work with the supervisor, Mr. Peterson, and he doesn't think it needs to be the daily. So we're still trying to work out the daily. That's that's where we sit. If we can work through that, maybe three times a day or not a daily, we can get through this hump.
Okay. Well, first thing that has to happen is you have to get an operator hired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think, for me, for the Board of Health, I think the first step in, after almost 5 months of not having an operator on board is to issue this order, and then we'll see what happens.
And there's nothing in this order that says that the operator has to be there daily.
No. And that, again, that will be up to the DNR. I mean, as of now, he's got to meet DNR requirements for his water system.
I understand that. So we
need to make it. If somebody would like to make a motion to issue the order.
I would still like to make that motion.
And then we need a second.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to issue an order to Crestview Mobile Home Park to have an operator, licensed operator, hired by April 26th. Is there any further discussion? We'll do a roll call. Passion?
Yes.
Speck?
Yes.
Obink?
Yes.
Toot? Yes. Brent, I'm going to sign this order today and date it. And I'm going to ask if you would take a copy of this with you. And I'm going to tell you again, I appreciate you coming in today. I appreciate our conversation the other day. You need to do what you need to do to get your operator hired. If you can't get it hired, then you'll have to take the next step. And that's going to be up to you. If you want to reduce to 15 or fewer hookups and get out from under DNR, if you want to close the lot down entirely, it's your business, it's your decision. But from the Board of Health standpoint, I think this is what we had to do today.
Yep, I understand. Okay. And I appreciate you and our conversation we've had as well.
You bet. And then I'll give you your copy. Here you go.
How close is Xenia? How close is Xenia Water to you?
Very close. Very close. Xenia is about 600 to 700 feet. It's just across County Line Road. I am in Story County. There's two parcel other owner lots next to me on the other side. But I think the City of Ames has an infringement. In that infringement area, has a hold on this Xenia can come across to that area, I believe. So I did have a meeting with in 2015 with the city. Also, I had the same such meeting in 2004 dealing with wastewater issues as well. That on utilizing city utilities, city wasn't open to do that. And the good news for myself, city is on the water side willing to use outside city limits because there's two parcels. Again, there's two property owners next to me in the city limits, so I can't annex in. But the good news is the city is opening the doors for that such at this time. But it's that's going to be a long term. It's not going to meet the short term that we're here dealing with today. So that is going to, again, I've been looking down that them routes as well.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks again, Brent. There he is. Next, we'll have a discussion and consideration to ban electronic smoking devices in county public spaces. You don't have to come back up again if you want. Or you could if you wanted. Why not? Come on up. So the City of Ames passed theirs. Do they have their final reading in February? And that ordinance is in effect. Okay. Correct. So today you would like the board to take action to approach the Board of Supervisors for an ordinance. Okay. And you provided us with a sample ordinance.
This is really just the Ames ordinance, but the wording has been changed.
Okay. 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 the difference may be, I think when we have our discussion on when we banned it in county buildings and property, the county parks, the conservation board was not interested at that time in passing that ordinance. And that'll be up to them whether or not they want to.
Right, and why is that?
Yes.
I didn't meet with them, but another staff member did, and our conversation with them had to do with, this is usually a process where you provide a certain amount of signage, and it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen, you reach the litter, you can control the dog parks, but you issue for, most of the time. And that is usually accomplished over time with, the proper signage, which the state provides. Just as they did the signs for the county in front of the building.
Yep.
So that's not a huge concern, I guess, for us.
Okay.
Maybe that'll come in time.
All right. Okay. Anybody have any questions on this? I know we've talked about it.
I don't know.
And I think you passed it last time, but it wasn't on the agenda.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who was in charge.
I wasn't here that day.
I don't know who was in charge. Let's broke everything.
So I would assume somebody wants to make a motion, and I think for our purposes what we'll do, if it passes here today, is that I'll draft a letter as a chair of the Board of Health to the Board of Supervisors requesting that they consider an ordinance, county ordinance, banning the use of e-cigarette devices in public places, other than just county property.
So moved.
Second.
The motion to direct you to
the... Right, so the chair of the Board of Health to forward a letter to the Board of Supervisors.
Wait, don't we
have to
ask this?
We're going to adopt this ordinance.
Don't we have to support this ordinance first?
Well, the county is actually the one that the Board of Supervisors would be the one that would pass the ordinance.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So if we can certainly include this.
I think we should include it.
Okay. All right. So you want to amend your motion to, who made the motion?
John.
You want to amend your motion to include that?
Goes way beyond what we can do because this is outdoor as well as indoor.
Right. So, and that's the one question that I had. It does not... At this point, if the county would pass it, it doesn't matter.
We have to delete all of that?
Yeah.
It follows the Smoke-Free Air Act, so it just mirrors what the Smoke-Free Air Act says.
Okay.
I should have been more clear about that.
Okay.
The city adopted what the state had.
Okay.
Well, let's just say we support banning electronic smoking devices following our smoke-free ordinance.
All right. So that was the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Same sign. I will. I'll write myself a letter and get it on our agenda. Next is the discussion of classification and compensation policy. And let me get the right one. I don't know if you guys have any of those in front of you.
I don't think so.
I couldn't get it to print off of the website today when I'm trying.
I think we have it.
Matt, would you go make some copies of this? I thought you could make copies of all those for everybody. So we got something to go by. Let me have a discussion.
Well, see, that's what happened with us. We had one trial, and they chose those jurors, and they said, "Wait, you're not done yet." We go upstairs, and we had to go to another, go sit to another one and stuff.
Federal.
No. It was gone.
I sat through and got chosen when we started, and then they settled out of court.
The one time I got selected, 20 minutes before I was supposed to be over here.
Oh.
It's kind of, they were asking these questions, and it came on marijuana. They asked our opinions about marijuana. So this is all off the record, of course, so I'm just talking. But they asked us a question about marijuana, and I was identified pretty quickly as a physician because they first asked if it would be a pain for me to be in here more than a day. I said, well, yeah, it will be. I mean, I could do it, but I got to reschedule patients and stuff, and I just have to know by the end of the day whether I have to call my office and reschedule my patients for the next day. And they asked my opinion about medical marijuana. And they asked, first the defense asked, then first the prosecution asked, and I said, and a bunch of people said, yeah, I could see where there'd be indication for it, and the usual stuff that people say, And I go, there's no data out there. The data's just not there. I don't think we should legalize it or use it until we know that there is actually a medical use for it. And really, the data is just lacking. And so then they get asked the question again in a little bit different way. The defense and all these people say, I was rethinking that, and I think that the question form was correct and stuff. And so I didn't get the shows, and I didn't think they were.
I don't imagine that. We just spent $200 fixing it. Copy machine. Okay, we can start with this one because it's the first one on our agenda. The compensation policy. The Board of Supervisors adopted. We've actually adopted all four of these that are coming up on our agenda a couple of weeks ago. And just to kind of bring everybody up to speed, we've had two additional bargaining units form with county employees, the conservation unit, and then the employees in this building, administrative employees in this building, formed a separate unit. We've got, through the process of the bargaining process, we've got the got both of the contracts signed for the next 2 years, I think through July or June 30th of 18. And as part of that, we wanted to put, the county wanted to put their compensation policy, bring it up to date, put together a pay plan, so when somebody starts on this day and they work here for X amount of years, they know that they're going to be able to move through a step system, and you'll see those.
This is for non-union, then?
This is for non-union, which covers the two employees in the health department. Margaret's exempt because she's a director. Stephanie, the clerical, the administrative assistant, is actually part of the union through the planning and development office. So she is included. For whatever reason, they didn't choose to include the health department employees. If they'd have done that, they would have had to the contract would have been with this board, like conservation. That contract is with the conservation board. If the health employees were done,
right,
with the board of health. So those Matt and Kathy are not covered under the union contract. So this first classification compensation policy goes through. Talks about entrance and wage, pay increases, different avenues that are available for pay increases, whether it be a cost of living increase, which is customary on July 1st for most employees. There's also the inclusion of a merit increase. We've had conversations about that, and this policy would include the possibility of a merit increase for our two employees. It talks about transfers and promotions, what would happen if somebody's promoted or if they're demoted or if they have to act as an interim or act as a director. If we're trying to hire a new director and one of them has to act as interim director. So, and this board, I believe, has adopted the county's, the employee's policy manual. We've done that a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that this would be in line with that. You know, this board doesn't have to pass these any of these policies, but in the absence of that, then I think they need to come up with their own.
Yeah, I think this is good because we've been wanting to have this for some time, and I like the fact that it has this merit.
Right. I know we've had that conversation, and really the fact of the matter is at this point now there's a handful of employees that are not covered by a collective bargaining unit. There's fewer employees that are not covered. Sure. Yep.
Initially, I looked over the plan and it sounded good, and then when I got into the detail, it kind of took me a certain way that I wasn't really comfortable with.
Okay.
I did speak to HR and everybody about it.
Mm-hmm. And Alyssa's, yeah.
She suggested I talk to the board.
Yep. And then this one, yeah, he's got the rest of it here. So we'll cover these other ones as we go. So go ahead, Kathy.
Okay. So I did review what's going on, and like I said, I think it's a good plan to go forward. I think it's about time the county did take those steps. But and I can just basically read what my complaint is. If the matrix is adopted and enacted July 1st, what happens is that by the end of July, both positions in the department will be at the same step and hourly pay rate. Now, I started 5 years before Matt did, and all of a sudden, my experience and my time here is negated. And so what I'm proposing is that if the board does go ahead and adopt these standards, between now and July 1, if the board would consider increasing my hourly rate so that I am above the step that I would come in at on July 1. And what that would do is it would keep a step between both positions, and my 5 years would not go out the window. And I'd appreciate it if you would consider that and take a vote on it.
Okay. As a little background, as we go through this, when our HR director, Alyssa Wignall, who's her and our generals for both at a conference this week, so they couldn't be here, when they went through the salaries of the employees that would be covered by these policies, when you've got long-term employees, and if you look through the papers, you'll see that it includes a ten steps.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you've got employees like Kathy, you've been here for
almost 10
years. 11th, yeah, you said your 11th anniversary
mm-hmm.
last month. They're past that 10th step.
Mm-hmm.
So what Alyssa did was she took their current, so if you're over your 10, if you've been here more than 10 years, what she did was she took their current salary and moved them up one step on the scale.
Can't remember that.
But if you go by my salary, I wasn't even at the midpoint.
You were not at the midpoint.
I wasn't even halfway to the midpoint.
And there were several employees that were in the same, mm-hmm. same boat. And the board had that discussion a couple of weeks ago when we talked about these policies. We thought at that time that it was a fair place to be. You're not going to satisfy everybody, and somebody's always going to be at a point on a pay scale where they think they should be. You should either higher or lower, not lower obviously, but higher, And so when we took the current salary and added one step, if they were past the 10 years, we thought that was as equitable as we could be. We tried to get as close to what the agreements were for the bargaining units. I mean, we've always said that. We'll try to treat all of our employees as equitably as possible. Obviously, if we're bound by a bargaining agreement, it's a little bit different.
But the difference, too, is that this board has acted differently in the past, and we're just answerable to the Board of Health.
Right.
And in the past, there's been instances where the board has looked at salaries of people coming into the department and raised up the current employees' pay.
Correct.
And even as recently as within the last year, that occurred.
Okay.
So, I mean, to me, it's very, very discouraging.
And we had the same discussion today in our Board of Supervisors meeting with our conservation director. The conservation board at their last meeting decided that for their one of their office staff, financial data manager, a person that does a great job, she's a long-term employee with conservation, they decided that they were going to move her two steps instead of current plus one. They moved her current plus two. It was made very clear to the director today that if that's the direction that the Board of Conservation wants to go, then they're going to have to realize or make up the difference in the salary out of the budget that's already been approved. So,
what about if we do it on the merit-based increase?
Well, the merit-based increase would be after a successful or a positive evaluation review, and then Margaret could make a request, and the request would come to this board, and those are made on anniversary dates. Merit increases would be made on anniversary dates. So I don't know what the dollar amount difference is,
Right now it's just 22 cents more an hour, and I would be up or 23.03, and the step is 23.25. I'm not that far from that step. If I was in that step already, I wouldn't be up here complaining.
Right. And I would point out that you do receive more longevity pay than
well,
Matt does. And that's one of the reasons that was put in there. And I'll also remind you that when you do get to the end of the pay scale, then there, other than merit increases, there's no mechanism.
I understand that. This is the first job I've ever worked at for a town or a county that didn't already have step and grade increases in it. So I think this is good that they're going in this direction. But when you look at it, I mean, I'm not even halfway up there, so I'm not worried about reaching my peak there.
Okay. Well, I think if the board wants to take action on this, then we can do that separately after we've gone through the other four that are in front of us. So that's going to be up to the board to decide what they want to do with that. So the first one that we've got is our compensation, our classification and compensation policy. So once again, if the Board of Health adopts these, or they're exactly the same as what the county has in place, then we'll have the foundation in place for new hires and merit increases and whatever it is as time goes by.
Did the Conservation Commission adopt this?
You know, I don't know if they did or not. I would assume that they did. But and I think that's probably where the discussion came from with their employee. So the first one we have in front of us is the compensation or classification and compensation. So if somebody would want to make a motion on that,
I'll move that to adopt the
compensation classification compensation policy. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right, we've got a motion and a second to adopt the classification and compensation policy as presented. Is there anything further? And we'll do a roll call on that. Obeek.
Yes.
Passion.
Yes.
Speck.
Yes.
Foogie.
Yes.
Two?
Yes.
Okay, that one has been approved. The next one is the performance management policy. That's a body straight. And this talks about performance appraisals and maintaining the reviews, annual reviews. I think what they want to do is move the review to anniversary dates. Currently, the HR would like everybody's review to be done by the 1st of January. That gets kind of difficult to do for a lot of department heads, so now they're going to move them to anniversary dates.
Margaret would do this, though, right? This is what Margaret would do.
Correct. And those reviews, well, the merit increase or the suggestion of the merit increase, and that's what this form is.
Mm-hmm.
Is that if the director feels that the employee is worthy of a merit increase, and they can make that request. So if you want to read through that, if you think it's something that we want to adopt as a board, then I would take a motion.
Question on this. I see there's this matrix, pay matrix
mm-hmm.
thing in here. So are you under, you're an environmental health specialist, right? What step are you? You say you're currently what step? Between start and step one?
Mm.
Okay. I see this goes clear out to step 10, which is,
yeah.
I didn't know how far this carried out. That's why I'm glad that was in this package here.
So right now we need a motion to approve this performance management policy?
Correct.
Okay, so moved.
Second. Yeah, motion and a second to approve and adopt the performance management policy. Is there anything further? Obink.
Yes.
Kluge.
Yes.
Toot.
Yes.
Passion.
Yes.
Speck.
Yes.
That's been approved. And the next is the fiscal year 17 proposed compensation schedule, which would be the one with the dark shaded area in the beginning. And this would be this would be for Margaret. Now, the directors are not going to be on a step plan. It's a little bit different when you're a department director. Those directors would be, the county hasn't decided exactly how they're going to treat the managers or the directors at this point. I would assume that depending on the outcome of the reviews, they'll be eligible for merit increase, and as well as the annual cost of living increase, and that's something that the HR director is working on at this point for the directors. So yeah, so the only one on here that actually affects us would be the. Would be what, Margaret? You're currently at a step. Was it 13, Margaret? Is that right? Okay.
Grade.
Yes, grade 13. Excuse me.
through these all an increase or a decrease or the same?
This is where you're at right now currently on this one. Yeah. Yeah, this doesn't include it shows what the minimum is and what the maximum is. So if you go clear across the annual, the minimum salary for the environmental health director at this point is 64.7. The maximum for that grade is 97.1. And you're currently at what, 70?
Yeah,
72 something.
If I live a really long time, I may.
Yeah. So if the board's so inclined, we can adopt this schedule for this year for the director.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Speck?
Yes.
Passion?
Yes.
Shoot? Yes. Kluge?
Yes.
Obink?
Yes.
That's been approved. Okay, so we'll get down to the non-bargaining pay matrix, which is the last schedule that you've got, and this would be the appropriate time to have a discussion about the request that was made by Kathy about her salary. I'm not going to say that I'm opposed to it. I did tell Mike Cox in a couple of conversations that he and I had about the financial data manager. It makes it difficult when the employees answer to a different board other than the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors is the funding mechanism for the Board of Health, same as the Conservation Board. And I don't know what the ramification is. It's easier if you said you're 2303 right now, so you're between the first.
I'm also suggesting that what I'm asking is to be put into step one because the thing that you just adopted, the line one, you go up to a step and then one above, and then on the university page, you get to step into on a regular basis.
Right.
And it comes in five.
Okay. Sure. It's not on the agenda. And
So you go up a step a year?
This
is going to be going back to Bill, starting next year, or starting on the university date. So my
anniversary date
will be
not,
so
mine will come up
in 1 month. Right, that puts her behind by just 1 month of being a step ahead, because her anniversary was just last month.
Oh.
That's what happened.
So, and I just know, if you're working at the place and you're putting in your time and you're doing your job and you're single and you're professional, and then it's just thrown at you, you're not.
Right. I don't disagree with anything you're saying, Kathy. I mean, one of the first comments I made at one of my first Board of Supervisors meetings is that I could not believe that there was not some sort of a step system in place for non-bargaining employees in the county. And we've been talking about it for 5 years, and we're finally about there. So this doesn't go into effect until July 1st. So what this board could do today is if they wanted to adopt the non-bargaining pay matrix, we could do that.
We did this, didn't we?
We did this one. I know it's getting a little confusing. And what we could do is we could put Kathy's request on the agenda for June? April, May.
And the request would be for her to increase.
She just wants to go to the. She wants to go to step one. Is that correct? You want to be placed to be started at step one.
So that when you.
$0.22 more an hour. It's $0.22 more.
Okay.
So that means
she'd be
okay. Well, what that'll do is it'll give us time for either you or I or both of us or Margaret to sit down with Alyssa and make sure we understand where you want to be, and then the board we can put that on the agenda for our June meeting. We can get it approved.
Okay.
A special meeting. Okay. Okay. So we'll leave it at the next Board of Health meeting, whenever that would be, but no later than the June meeting. Sure.
And then while you say it has to come out of the existing budget, which I think that we did cover, and then after that, though, we can budget for it, right?
Right.
Okay.
And it's right.
And going forward, it'd be just for next year, she'd go to step two, next year, step three.
Correct.
So the only other thing we can do then is to do the merit base and pay increase.
Right. She'll get her steps, and then along with that, the employees are still eligible
for the merit.
For merit.
Right.
And that's based on performance value.
That's based on performance, and that's at a half a point increment up to 3%.
Right. And that's what we've been trying to get for years. And
right.
We just didn't have that in place. And
correct. So,
I'll move to the non-bargaining payment.
Okay. You want a second?
Second.
Then? Okay, we've got a motion and a second to accept the Story County non-bargaining pay matrix for environmental health employees. Is there anything further? O'Bink?
Yes.
Kluge?
Yes.
Toot? Yes. Passion?
Yes.
Speck?
Yes.
Okay, that's been approved. Okay, now we have our
steps in place.
and then we'll address this on our next meeting.
I think that's it.
Any you want to set a date for that next meeting?
Well, we're going to wait and see what happens with Brandt.
Yeah, so after the 26th, we'll see if he's got an operator. And if he doesn't, we'll have to have a meeting. We can do it electronically, possibly.
Or we can do a conference call.
Conference
call. Yep. And we'll do it on Tuesday.
Okay. Thank you. I want to let you know that after May 5th, I won't be back in the country for like 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
So,
make sure you get all your shots before you go. Are there any staff comments? any board comments? The only thing I'll say is that I did have probably an hour's long conversation with Brandt Lemire last week one day, and I was just really up front with him and told him where I thought the Board of Health was going to come down on this, and like he mentioned here a little bit, he thinks that he'll probably try to reduce the number of hookups to 15 or fewer, which means he's got to figure out which 16 tenants he's going to give the notice to. I don't necessarily know that, you know, maybe a little bit different scenario if he's just not going to renew some of these leases, or if he's forcing them to vacate. But there will be on the Board of Supervisors' agenda within the next week or two a discussion about what kind of assistance we could offer over and above what we normally offer through our community or our county and our relief office.
If any bans 16. Now he's got the problem of abandonment trailer sitting there.
I'll tell you what I told him. Brandt, when you're going to eat an elephant, you got to do it one bite at a time. So focus on this first, and if you end up with 30 abandoned trailers in your
that's no problem.
Then that's the next thing you got to get through.
But he still has his lagoon problem, too. That's really not right, either.
So
that's not working properly.
That doesn't sound like anything.
Well, that's why the operators won't take it on.
Right.
The point of clarification, if you drop below the 15, is the current water supply able to safely do that, or if he's just dropping below the number where he wouldn't have to meet these regulations?
That's a really good question. If he drops below 15, that gets him out of the DNR jurisdiction.
But is it safe?
Puts him in ours. Yeah, that's a good
Would it be safe for 15 or less people?
It doesn't work that way.
Not the way it is now.
Not.
But you can replace the whole system.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's the question.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I just wanted to make sure that any discussion we had about it was on the record, and I just wanted to point
out. I just wasn't sure on that. If it was just strictly to get out of being a public water system, or would it also then be state?
Yeah.
He still has to have good water, though. Even if he's
correct.
Less than 15, he still has to have quality water.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Would he be able to provide quality water if it was less than 15 or less?
You have to give them a target.
Well, now that we've passed them, so now they have something to go on.
Right.
They know where we stand now, the DNR. So
we'll see what happens next Friday. And then I'll probably send out an email to everybody, just give you an update. And if we decide that we're going to take further action, then we'll post an agenda.
I can't leave them there. I'm just going to stick out there.
Yeah. Okay. I take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Got a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.